Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. And it's been a busy day on the Bulldog beat. Get you caught up with all that. We've had the opportunity to break some news today about the Bulldog rosters on the football and the basketball side. We'll jump into all that. By request, we have another top 10 list. We'll talk about a few other things and get your weekend off on the right foot. Hope you guys are doing well. You guys and dolls, everybody out there doing well. And it's Friday, so maybe it's a payday for you. I hope it is. It's a great day. Getting paid is always a great day. It doesn't matter how much money you make or how much you've got saved up in the bank. It's always a great day when you get that direct deposit or that paycheck, and your labor has been rewarded. As you guys have heard me say, I'll write this, but as I said the other day, in the battle of the spider and the fly, I always cheer for the spider because the spider did the work. Yeah, the fly just flies around trying to profit off the work of others, you know. And so that's my feeling. You may see it differently. But, the spider goes to all the trouble to construct the web and to feed himself and his family, and he gets rewarded for it because somebody else just out living leisurely, right? So always support those that put in the effort, right? It's like the old adage that work only comes after success in the dictionary. Yeah, it's kind of a silly thing, but it's true. It's true. But I hope that you're working hard and being successful. One thing I want to tell you, too. If nobody else has told you today, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You've overcome a lot. You have. You had to put up with a lot of nonsense in your life. You've had some people that have maybe broken your heart, conspired against you, stabbed you in the back. Welcome to the club. But I'm proud of you. And I love you. And I want to share a quick story, too. I'm not going to get into too many details, but there's someone that I know kind of indirectly that has had some very difficult weeks, let's just say. And so I inquired with some mutual friends and found out that it's actually been longer than weeks. It's been months, and there were some hints of maybe some alcoholism years ago. A lot of people are kind of making fun of the guy, and I'm not. I've reached out. We're going to try to provide a sense of help. And one of the things that I shared with him that means a lot to me, and I'm going to share it with you. Because, you know, I love the rock band Shinedown. I do. I'm not crazy about the newest album. There's some things I like, but I love the band. I love their positivity. But there's one lyric in particular. There's a bunch of them that I love, but there's one that even when in times of goodness, when I listen to it, I get a bit emotional because, you know, the pain is never far, right? You just kind of learn to live with how it hurts. But one of the most profound lyrics that I've ever heard or read or lived or experienced is off the song Daylight from Shinedown. Maybe you're somewhat familiar with that track. If you're not, you certainly should be. But in the pre-chorus of that song, Brent Smith sings, "It's amazing what the hard times can reveal. Like who shows up, who walks away, and who's for real." I get chills even speaking that into existence because it's true, right? You think about your own life and your own struggles and the days that you were in the valley. Those are the days you find out who really cares about you. And sometimes it'll surprise you who does and maybe who doesn't. It's got a good friend of mine years ago told me that when she went through a divorce, she said it was one of the best things that ever happened to her because she found out who her people were. And that's my hope for you today, is that you know who your people are. It's easy to tell people, I would do anything for you until they actually need something. What do you do when someone you know falls off the mountainside and is trapped down in the bottom of the valley, maybe a little bit wounded? What do you do? Do you just keep on going? You call for help? You provide help? And those are the things that I think about. And I'm not going to sit here and name you names because it's not even about me or about them. But one of the things that I do in life is I reach out to broken people. Because a lot of times when things happen, some people believe that that person is toxic. And it's just not true. You know, there's some bad people out there, right? I mean, for every good, there's probably, you know, a couple bad, right? That's just life. But let me challenge you to reach out to people in their brokenness when they have been humbled by life and perhaps by the weight of their own decisions. Because I can tell you, as somebody who has been on the other end of that, I will never forget the people that reached out for me, the people that reached out at my lowest point and saw that I still had value, that my life had value, that my life wasn't over. Because, guys, here's what happens, okay? Because I've seen it, I've lived it. There are people out there, sometimes they experience something that is so incredibly personal. The loss is so incredibly daunting. And they begin to lose hope. And that's where you and I can come in, is to provide people a sense of hope. There's so much of that that often we don't know what to say. And I hear that a lot from people. I wouldn't know what to tell them. You know what? Here's what you say. Hey, I know, I care, and I love you. And maybe it's a text, maybe it's a message on social media. But one of the things that I know, because I'm from the 1900s, you know, I've lived a long time now. Hopefully I'm not even middle-aged. I don't know if I want to live to be 100, but my point being is that all great people at some point have been broken, all of them. You just may not know it, but all great people have experienced a season of brokenness. You know, one of the things that you guys, you hear me say sometimes, I'm just trying to be a stand-up guy in an ill-down world. I had somebody message me about a week or so ago about that and say, Steve, I love that. Where'd you get that from? What's the book of Daniel in the Holy Bible? It's the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When the rest of the world kneeled, they stood. And those are the things that motivate and drive me, is not to go along with the crowd. And that's what happens in situations like this. When people get crippled, and again, oftentimes by their own bad decisions, they lose hope. And sometimes, we can reach out and provide them with a sense of hope and love and friendship, and maybe kind of give them a little ammunition, a little fuel for the rest of the journey. Because the last thing that I would want is to have somebody go through a season like this and feel like nobody cares, and then they make a decision that life is just not worth living. It is. And I love each and every one of you. Even if I never got to see it personally, I'm saying it now. I love you. I'm proud of you. And I hope that good things happen for you in your life. Let's thank our good friends at Bulldog Burger Company. And I am feeling some Bulldog Burger Company this weekend. I am excited to have some Bulldog Burger Company this weekend. I had Harvey's yesterday. I love that plate lunch at Harvey's. Like, there's not much that beats a great plate lunch. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get your entree and a couple of sides. And get you through lunch. Sometimes I can eat it for dinner. But I love the Blue Plate lunch special at Harvey's. I had that yesterday. Had the hamburger steak with some mashed potatoes. We even got some fried mushrooms, too. Part of the great Eat With Us family. Bulldog Burger Company, though, that's what has my attention now. And I think I'm going to try that triple smash this weekend. And hopefully we can work it out, and I'll report back to you next week on how it went. Yeah, I'm trying to live life and live it more abundantly. And one of the things that I do to enjoy life is to eat for enjoyment, not just for nourishment. So stop by one of their three great locations this weekend. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. I looked in the mirror this morning and I said, you know what, I could probably use a spring roll. And I can. And then get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, biggest news in college sports right now. We've talked about this extensively. The 10th Circuit Appellate Court has now issued a stay of Charlotte Sweeney's ruling. U.S. District Court Judge Charlotte Sweeney in Colorado, that she had the sweeping ruling and injunction that provided a fifth year of eligibility to all those players in 22 and 23 nationally. Immediately they appeal, obviously, and as they should have. And as I said on this show just Wednesday, I expected the stay to be granted. And I'd say I'm not a lawyer, but I can read, right? I think I'm above reasonable intelligence. But as I shared then, I felt that the NCAA case was just simply more compelling. I thought the law favored the NCAA. The recent appellate court precedents favored the NCAA. And then again, in the Wisney plaintiff's brief, there was a lot of errors in that thing. A lot. And again, I'm not a judge, but I can read citations that are not applicable to your plaintiffs. I mean, it almost comes off as malpractice, right? I mean, it's like you're here working through this process and you go cite cases that are not really similar to yours. And so, again, this could be a case study one day. But here's what the ruling says. In deciding whether to grant a stay pending appeal, we consider the traditional factors. One, whether the stay applicant has made a strong showing that he is likely to succeed on the merits. Two, whether the applicant will be irreparably injured absent a stay. Three, whether the issuance of the stay will substantially injure other parties interested in the proceeding. And four, where the public interest lies. So let's kind of run this down point by point. Then I'll tell you what it means for Mississippi State. Number one, basically, the very first factor is the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals is saying that they believe the NCAA would win this case on the merits. Right? That's what they're saying. Now, the actual appeal is still weeks away, could be months away. But as I've said on this show for weeks now, the 10th Circuit traditionally has favored the status quo. So we're returning to the status quo. Number two, would the NCAA essentially be injured absent a stay? Well, I think the last week has proven yes, that truly is the case. With all this chaos, we got about pro players trying to get cut from pro teams to go back and play college ball again. Number three, whether the issuance of the stay will substantially either injure other parties. We've talked about that too, right? We've talked about how you could have some players currently on college rosters that are displaced and have nowhere to play. In the event that you do have somewhere to play, all of a sudden you've got veteran players that come in and you could have limited competitive opportunities. So that's factored in. And then where does the public interest lie? Well, it appears, you know, my legal opinion, based on nothing other than being a good reader, is that the NCAA has basically successfully argued that all of this chaos is not good for the public interest. All of these, rogue judges and things like that, that all of these state court rulings are not good. Now, there is an exception to the ruling. They're basically saying, hey, if you have received relief on the state court level, then this doesn't apply to you. But what's interesting about that aspect of it, So now people are going to go seek relief through the state court system. The issue with that is the NCAA has pretty much let it be known that they are going to continue to appeal these cases. This is not a one-off, guys. This is not one of these situations where they're just going to be happy winning here. So here's what the NCAA memorandum says. The 10th Circuit's decision to stay the preliminary injunction issued by a Colorado Federal District Court judge in Wisney permits Division I to return to the status quo before the district court intervened. Effective immediately, the age-based eligibility rules will be implemented as the Division I membership intended. Class members who were allowed to compete because of the Wisney injunction are no longer eligible to compete. The association will separately continue to defend other similar putative class action lawsuits and the state court cases that have been filed by former student athletes seeking additional eligibility and expeditiously appeal any cases where former student athletes have or will be granted additional eligibility through separate court rulings. We are encouraged by the Ohio Court of Appeals decision to stay the first of those injunctions pending our appeal. Institutions will not have violations for any class members who were allowed to compete consistent with the scope of the Wisney injunction prior to the stay being granted. And those former student athletes are no longer eligible under the Wisney injunction. Staff will continue to process any hardship waivers or season of competition waivers submitted for a class member by July 1st, 2026 deadline. End of memorandum. So what does this mean for us, Steve? Well, what it means is that Jerron Manning and Malik Sela are currently ineligible to play. And the NCAA says, hey, Mississippi State, you are not going to be sanctioned for allowing these players to participate in practice. Because at the time, they were covered by this nationwide injunction issued by Charlotte Sweeney. So it was absolutely permissible for them to participate during that time. Now it's no longer permissible. So what's going to happen now, from what I understand, and I don't know if there's a filing that's been filed yet, we expect something, is that what I expect based on some conversations is that Jerron Manning and Malik Sela will have a lawsuit filed on their behalf in state court to see if they can get a temporary restraining order and an injunction to continue to play. Now, it becomes a little riskier now because the NCAA has basically come out and says, we are going to oppose any of these state court decisions that find the players can play. And the reality of it is this is, again, another reason why we need a form of the PCSA to pass, because there needs to be one law for everybody. It shouldn't be a situation where a kid in Mississippi is ineligible, but a kid in California is. That's not equality. That's not equal rights. That's not equal representation under the law. And it's certainly not under the umbrella of the NCAA. So, again, our calls for the PCSA to pass. And I think all of this chaos is actually going to help the proponents of the PCSA when the Senate reconvenes next month. Because now everybody's like, do you see what happened and what's happening on the state and district court level out there? It's chaos, man. We're getting ready to play college football, and teams don't even know who is on or off the roster because of the mess we've allowed these trial lawyers to make. And the NCAA's not blameless. They should have got ahead of some of this stuff. But the reality of it is every time the NCAA tries to institute a new protocol to give us some guardrails around stuff, it gets challenged in court. So we have to have this limited antitrust exemption to prevent some of this stuff. It's chaos, man. I mean, I want to talk about football. I'm tired of being court TV, man. That's not what I signed up for. But you know what? And selfishly, I want Jerron Manning and Malik Sela to play for Mississippi State this year. That's what I want. But I also understand there's probably a greater good here, too. Now, immediately, some Mississippi State fans say, well, hey, how is this different than a Trinidad Chambliss case? Well, Chambliss's case was different because he was seeking a medical hardship waiver. Now, you and I both know it was a flimsy case, but the circumstances are completely different. This case is about the 5-for-5 eligibility model, which has no bearing on Trinidad Chambliss whatsoever. Period. And again, there's probably some venue shopping that went around with all this stuff, but the NCAA continues to win at the appellate court level. So the Wisney plaintiffs and others, right, they can appeal, right, to the Supreme Court. But, you know, the Wisney guys, it's so interesting, too. Like, the plaintiffs of that case, you know, they this is just my opinion based on talking to some people and doing some research of my own. Like, the reason that it's the Wisney case is because he lived in Colorado. And I believe they venue shopped because they believed they could get a favorable ruling. And it kind of blew up in their face because it ended up getting to the appellate court. As a, you've got to be able to, you know, you got to be able to anticipate that. But now here we are. So as of now, Manning, Sela, ineligible. In the event we get a TRO and an injunction, I'm not sure how the SEC is going to handle this. And there are a lot of people that are like, you know, I don't know what, you know, what Greg Sankey thinks. Of course, Greg Sankey obviously has to abide by the will of the presidents. It's not like Greg Sankey is an elected official. You know, he is an appointed official by the SEC membership. He is our commissioner, but it's our presidents that say, hey, this is what we want to do. It's not like Greg Sankey is a dictator. But Sankey came out and opposed that lawsuit in Louisiana that's allowing you know, guys that signed a pro contract. And I have had some people, let's just say, from the 205 area code that have shared with me, Greg Sankey is very, very serious about stopping some of this chaos within the Southeastern Conference. And that it's not going to be a situation where he is going to be played with. That's good news to me, right? Because we need to be a protected species in the SEC too. And so we need to ensure, just like we saw with, you know, the Alabama basketball situation, they go out and bring a guy back who played in the NBA. It's absurd, man. And now there are others that are on the NFL rosters that are about to, you know, show up for camp. They're like, hey, I think I want to go back to college. Frankly, I don't think you should have the right to do that. That's me. Now, what happens when, you know, state court goes out there? And that's one of the things, too, that I think is important to understand. You're going to see a lot of this stuff on Twitter about, oh, the, you know, TRO granted in this state and that state and that state. And people are like, oh, my gosh, look at all these lawsuits. Guys, at the end of the day, all of this is going to end up being a situation that rises to the level of the federal court system and possibly the appellate court system. And as we have seen this week, the NCAA has had success in getting stays granted, which means the status quo still exists, which means those players can't play. There are some people out there that will try to twist this thing and try to drag it out through college football season. I just don't think it's going to happen that way. And as Pete Thamel said earlier, you know, the clock favors the NCAA. And we talked about this the other day. This 10th Circuit Court decision was essentially the Super Bowl as it relates to the 2022-2023 college entrance, guys like Jerron Manning and Malik Sela. And they're not, listen, they're not the bad guys in this situation. They had moved on with life, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, you may have another year. Do you want to come back? Well, yeah, I do, right? So there's no blame with those guys. They're just kind of taking advantage of what the courts have allowed them to do. But you're going to have a lot of the stuff that's going to come out. People are going to be like, oh, another loss for the NCAA. Guys, losing in state court in matters like this that basically have national implications is really irrelevant. It's because of the fact it's going to end up being in a situation where now that the NCAA has the 10th Circuit saying that the NCAA is likely to prevail on the merits, they will weaponize that language in every TRO situation around the country. And so I am not optimistic about Manning and Sela playing for Mississippi State moving forward. I hold out some hope just because, again, selfishly, it makes Mississippi State a better football team. Because we have got to have an end to all this chaos. We have to. We talk about fan fatigue all the time, right? I mean, it's all the NIL stuff, and transfer portal. Okay, so all of a sudden, we restrict some of the portal activity. It used to, it was a 365-day-a-year deal. We got that stopped. Set up some transfer portal windows. Then we eliminate the spring portal for football. And so, hey, it took us a long time to get here, but we've gotten here. So you don't hear as much complaining about the portal because there are a lot more restrictions on it. NIL became a thing 5 years ago, and we've come a long way. We still got a long way to go. And one of the things that they're trying to do is eliminate the gray area where this NIL compensation, these slush funds that are paid for play, are eliminated. And again, that's part of PCSA, which is another reason we need it to pass. And just to be blunt about it, we're not going to be able to build up a slush fund to compete with a lot of our SEC contemporaries, period. That's not playing poor mouth. That's just the reality of it. But every time you turn around, like I see it on the message boards all the time. It's like, Steve, how do I make sense of any of this stuff? Guys, just cheer for the Bulldogs. And that's the one thing, too. We're about 2 weeks away from Mississippi State playing Louisiana Monroe at Davis-Wade Stadium. And so now that we've got this resolved, and I'm sure there will be a legal situation between now and then to try to get those guys eligible. But the reality of it is we shouldn't expect any real contribution from them in the month of September. And in the event that we get the TRO, which we've done this before, like in the Larry Gillard case, if you recall, if the NCAA deems those players ineligible, we can't play them, even with the TRO, because at the end of the day, the NCAA is the one that merits out punishments. People are like, oh, I would just do it. If the Southeastern Conference deems these players ineligible, we can't play them. And so, again, like all of you, I am ready just to talk about sports, but over the course of the last several months, you know, the courts and sports and Capitol Hill have all kind of been traveling in the same direction, so we got to cover it. But that's where we stand today. So you should prepare not to have Jerron Manning and Malik Sela. That's what you should prepare for. And then in the event down the road that we're able to get that worked out and then they can play, it's a bonus. But you shouldn't expect them. And the truth of the matter is, Jeff Leibig and his staff weren't expecting them when I put this roster together back in December and January. We weren't expecting this. We weren't expecting those guys to be available. We've already taken steps to fill those roster spots with other players. And so that's part of it. Would we prefer to have these guys back? You better believe we would. But we weren't counting on them. Well, we went through spring practice. We weren't counting on them being here. It wasn't until July 31st, less than a month ago, that this even became a possibility. So this is not a scenario where we are overly invested in these guys, expecting them to be starters for us, right? In other football news, Mario Nash Jr. has elected to leave the Mississippi State program. We broke that news earlier today. Nash informed Mississippi State officials on yesterday that he had planned to leave, move back home, and move on from football. You may recall Nash was a commitment to Mississippi State in the 2025 class, a 247 Sports four-star. He ultimately flipped to Florida State, redshirted last year, entered the portal, came back to state, signed, went through spring practice, and all through summer workout drills, and then now here we are, and he's like, I just don't know if it's for me. And you know what? I respect it. I'd rather find out now. We wish him the best. I don't know what he's dealing with. It may be a scenario where maybe he's just ready to move on from football. I don't know. That's one of the things I've told is that he's just going to move on from football. But, he may get home and decide, maybe I should go to play at East Mississippi for a year. Maybe. I don't know. But I can tell you Mario is a great young man, and I wish him the best. But it's interesting. We were all kind of stressing a little bit about how do we work out this 105-man thing. What do you do, right? And you don't have to submit the 105 until game week. And so then you have Colin Coates get injured. You've got to help him, right? Bless him, right? Well, your injured players, your season-ending injuries, don't count on your 105. And then you have Mario Nash elect to leave the program. And listen, he's not leaving on bad terms, right? It's not a situation where he was processed out or none of that. This is totally his decision. And then he leaves, so guess what? He's not going to be in the 105. So here we are in a scenario where in the event that we could get Manning and Sela eligible, we don't have to cut anybody, which is one of the fears that a lot of people had is like, hey, we've had some other guys, even if they're back at the roster guys, they've been with us in the spring and the summer, you know, they've gone through workouts, they've done everything they were asked to do, and we may have to ask them to leave so we can bring these guys back. It was an awkward situation, but you no longer have to worry about that. So in the event that we're able to get these guys eligible, they're not going to knock somebody else off the roster. And so that's a concern that you no longer have to invest into your emotional energy in. But we'll see how things play out. But as of now, Jerron Manning, Malik Sela, not eligible to compete at Mississippi State football. All right, time for today's Top 10 List, brought to you by closewithblair.com. That's C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com. Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And since we're all friends, I think you deserve his phone number. I have it. I'll give it to you. It's 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Save that number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may forget the name, you won't forget the need, and then when you need him, you will have his number. You won't have to message me, you won't have to go do a Google search, you'll have it. And when it comes to life, it helps to have friends that can do some of the heavy lifting for us, right? You never know when you're going to have a relationship change, a familial change, a job change, anything could happen in life, and you may be looking for a new residence. So let Blair Chandler and his 25 years of expertise go to work for you. He knows how to construct loans to give you the best chance for approval. It's true. So whether it's your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo you've always wanted, the only name to know is Blair Chandler, licensed to practice in multiple states, and a guy that knows how to get things done. Thus the name closewithblair.com. Okay, Pete hits me up and said, Steve, I've really enjoyed the top 10 list as of late. I've learned a lot about these record company conspiracies. What else can you share about everything that happened in the early 90s? Well, Pete said, thanks for reaching out. Thank you. And I appreciate the fact that you acknowledge the work. Matter of fact, my friend Jeff Murrah texted me just yesterday about the Clear Channel stuff. And he goes, Steve, I never knew that even existed. It's true. That's what we're here to do, to educate, inform, and entertain. And a lot of times you don't understand. You know, this was not government-level censorship, but it was corporate-level censorship. And maybe it was well-intended. But I'm not in favor of any censorship. Don't protect my feelings. Let me decide how I want to deal with things. That's my feeling. I don't need you to decide for me what I can listen to. Well, that's what happened today, Pete. We talked about the early 90s and how basically an act of collusion between MTV and the Big Six record companies because of the fact that Capitol Records and people like that were sick and tired of having to pay multi-million dollar advances to get records recorded. It sometimes took a year or more to make. Got incredibly expensive. And then the tours were expensive. The videos were expensive. And so it's like, hey, we want to make more money. So we're going to sign acts that require a smaller bonus. Just like we talked about before, like Nevermind was recorded in 16 days. Like Metallica, it took them like a year, sometimes a year and a half to get a record recorded, right? And so record companies were tired of paying for all that studio time. And so it's like, hey, we can put together a more profitable operation for ourselves. Well, the problem with that is they had some bands that they were involved with in long-term contracts. Because in the mid to late 80s, there was a big bidding war for bands like Trickster and Firehouse and, of course, many others. And there were some bands in the late 80s that really got some run on MTV. So we've already recorded all these videos. We've produced all these videos. We've already bought all these acts. So, you know, what do we do with them? Well, basically what they decided to do is, hey, we're only going to run those videos in the nighttime hours. There will be no daytime rotation for any of these bands that are kind of overlapping the decade. Because, again, the record companies wanted to get out of these deals. In these contracts, once you hit certain record-selling plateaus, it triggered different language. Maybe you got a bonus. Maybe it gave you the right to have the option for the next record. So they purposely wanted to push these videos and albums down. And, of course, they colluded with Sam Goody and Best Buy and everybody else. All of it's some big, you know, big wax ball of contention. So, Pete, here are the acts and bands that were basically daytime band in the early 90s. They call it the Sunset Strip Squeeze. That's what we're going to call today's list. So what's interesting about that is there was a band that recorded a great album in it came out in 89, but it was recorded in 88. And it was really a step in the right direction. While this was a band from San Diego, California, they weren't a Sunset Strip band. They had a grittier edge. They came from a punk background. It's a band called the Sea Hags. And I love them. We've talked about them on the show before. Half the Way Valley is your number 10 track. And let me tell you what happened to the Sea Hags. Okay? So, kind of like we were talking about with Pantera and like the Sebastian Bach version of Skid Row, you started getting a heavier edge to modern rock music. So to capitalize on that, they wanted to sign some bands that kind of fit that. They got the Sea Hags at a bargain. And the Sea Hags went out and toured out with Guns N' Roses. And what's cool about the Sea Hags too, like Ian Astbury from The Cult was so incredibly impressed with them, he volunteered to produce the album. They didn't use him, they used Mike Klink, who was the producer of Appetite for Destruction with Guns N' Roses. The first Sea Hag demos were produced by Kirk Hammett from Metallica. You think, well, how could this band not make it? Well, due to a restructuring with their own record company and the fact that people were kind of pushing away, the band basically got frustrated and broke up. They tried to continue and do a second album, and there was no funding for the album, despite the fact that it was the step in the right direction. Number nine, a band that got a lot of critical acclaim with their debut album, Blackout in the Red Room, led by Jizzy Pearl, it's Love Hate. Of course, Jizzy did some work as Rat's vocalist when Stephen Piercy was on hiatus from the band. But there was a follow-up album that came out in 92 that is pretty comparable to the first one. It's called Wasted in America, and their title track from that album is your number nine album. Love Hate, another band like the Sea Hags that was getting a lot of critical acclaim, but also, too, the critical acclaim was fed by the record companies pushing it on these opinion makers in rock music. Hey, this is the direction we want to go. We want to get away from glam, have a heavier edge. And so Love Hate was in that new movement of music, but however, restructuring of record companies, Love Hate kind of fell apart. They've done some things in recent years, but another band that was negatively impacted. Now, every band the rest of the way, you don't have to be an 80s rock aficionado to know. Number eight, the Bullet Boys. Remember them? That debut album? Incredible album. You know, Smooth Up In You, all that stuff. The cover of, you know, For the Love of Money, F Sharp 9. It's a great album. There's not really any skips on that album. Ted Templeton from Van Halen fame was the producer. Well, they record their second album, Freak Show, which I have a huge tattoo of, the cover of, on my leg. One of my favorite tattoos. Bullet Boys struggled to put some new songs together. So there was kind of a high reliance. It was kind of like Van Halen's Diver Down, right? Where it's kind of in between. It's following a big album. And maybe they were rushing to get the second album done. So they recorded a handful of covers on this album. But the song THC Groove kind of had some innovation in the video. And again, it's one that basically got pushed to the nighttime hours. That's your number eight song. Number seven, the band from Memphis. Love these guys. Absolutely love these guys. Tora Tora, Surprise Attack, came up just short of gold. Like Bullet Boy's debut was a gold record. Tora Tora, about 450, so just 50,000 short. And I imagine if we could all get behind it. And that Surprise Attack album is flawless, man. From start to finish. You guys know it from Walking Shoes, maybe Phantom Rider. It is a great album. Well, the follow-up album was great too. But before you know it, record companies change. You're like, yeah, we're going to pull your production and your promotion here. And by the third album, they were done. One of my favorite songs from Tora Tora is your number seven track. It's As Time Goes By. I love it. Anthony Quarter's voice on that is just incredible. Number six, a band you guys know well, it's L.A. Guns. You remember that debut album with Electric Gypsy and so many great songs. Cocked and Loaded followed that. It was great. Cocked and Loaded, of course. Ballad of Jane was on there. Rip and Tear was on there. And all of a sudden, it felt like, hey, L.A. Guns was kind of this sleazy band that had some staying power. Well, again, things begin to change. And L.A. Guns has kind of found a way to survive. But when the Hollywood Vampires album hit, record companies were like, hey, we're kind of sick and tired of this stuff, so we're not going to promote Hollywood Vampires. And so we're going to go with track one on that album, Over the Edge, at number six. And, of course, I saw L.A. Guns with the homie Sam Denton with Faster Pussycat at the Lafayette Ballroom in Memphis. I think that's what it's called. And I got a chance to see our friends and Faster. It's always good. And spent a little time with H. Van Johnson. Super cool guy. But L.A. Guns, and you know we've talked about them in recent years too, that their newer material is great. Like if you love that stuff, and it's not quite so 80s, you know, it doesn't have that elevated chorus, but it's great rock and roll. L.A. Guns, still a band you should enjoy. Number five, you guys remember Stryper used to dominate on MTV. Like when the In God We Trust album came out, you know, You're Free and Honestly, all those great songs. Like Stryper all of a sudden crossed into the mainstream after kind of being an independent Christian artist for a long time. And then they decided to do something stupid. Put a new album out called Against the Law that was going to be incredibly secular, which they lost their core fan base. However, part of what happened with them too is the record company again decided, hey, we don't want to do you long-haired guys in your black and yellow spandex. So the transition did not work, and a lot of fans were alienated, but one of my favorite songs from the Stryper catalog, and I remember listening to this after I had had a date with Jennifer McCrae, former homecoming queen at Bassfield, and I listened to the song Lady from Stryper all the way home to Columbia, because I just thought she was so great. Nevertheless, that's your number five track. God rest Jennifer's soul, too. Number four, you guys know from my conversations about my friend Benny Bruce that also passed away earlier this year. Benny was the keyboard player in a band called Tough. They were expected to be one of the next big things, and they just kind of missed their window. And again, this is a band that was out opening for Poison and bands like that, Warrant. They were doing some great things. Stevie Rochelle does a little podcast with Steve Whiteman from Kix. It may be interesting. But the big hit, obviously, they come out with the power ballad first, and it's a song that I love. It's I Hate Kissing You Goodbye, because I do. I hate kissing you goodbye. I do. Number four. Number three, we've talked about this band extensively. It's kind of one of the best examples of how a great rock band got washed away and all this thing. Signed a $2 million advance from Capitol Records. They shut down the Sunset Strip to film the video for this track. And again, it's one of the saddest stories I can tell you about corporate greed with record companies and the collusion with MTV. It's Wildside's Hang On Lucy. I love the song. The whole album is great, but that was a banger of a track. Number two, a band that you guys know well. Now, you recall when Vinnie Vincent Invasion started, Mark Slaughter became a star because of the Vinnie Vincent Invasion. You guys remember Love Kills and Ashes to Ashes? It was a great album. But Vinnie Vincent was so, such a self-saboteur. Chrysalis Records went to Mark and Dana Strom and like, hey, listen, we can't continue with Vinny. He's just too erratic. We will let you assume the deal. And so next, football is back, and thank goodness for that. My friends over at Prospects bringing out their best offer to date. New users who sign up will get $150 in lineups. That's if you win your first $5 lineup. It's pretty simple. If you win your first $5 lineup, you get $150 in lineups. And now, Prize Picks is available nationwide. So what you waiting for? Lock in for kickoff because everyone and everything is on Prize Picks. So what are you guys excited about this football season? I think the Steelers are going to be better than many people expect. I'm all over that aspect of it. I think that Steelers defense is going to kind of return to form. I think Pittsburgh's going to make a run at this thing in the AFC North. Maybe you see things a little bit differently, but you need to get in the game and get some skin in the game with me on Prize Picks. Now, Prize Picks is going crazy with the deals to start football season. They're just as excited as you and I are. They're giving you this new promo every day during a very stacked September. Make sure to sign up now for guaranteed picks every Sunday, along with profit boost and daily discounts throughout the entire month. Plus, the app is very simple to use, and it's very user-friendly. You just pick 2 to 6 players and then pick more or less on their projected stats like pass yards, rush yards, fantasy score. It's the best way to get more locked in on game day. You can make all the picks you want across any sport, all in the very same app. Download the app today and use code BONEYARD to get $150 instantly in lineups if you win your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. Run your game. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Hey, if you could wake up tomorrow and just be better at one thing, what would it be? You know, maybe it's less doom scrolling. Maybe it's more time with your family. Maybe it's making more time for the things that bring enjoyment. You know, I'm a bit of a workaholic, to be quite honest with you. You know, I could schedule some time to do some things away from the office. You know, and I think all of that helps me. I enjoy my work, but sometimes it's just simply good to get away. You know, better is a feeling, and it's really defined by you. And for BetterHelp, it's a BetterHelp therapist who really gets you. It's a focus on global emotional well-being with thousands of therapists and millions of members in over 100 countries. Well, it's progress. You know, and maybe it's getting better at making more time for yourself to do the things that you love. Sign up today and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com. Next thing you know, Vinny Vincent is out. The band is renamed as Slaughter, which matched really well for the 80s metal scene. But, of course, that's Mark Slaughter's last name. The album, Stick It To Ya, double platinum. Then they released Stick It Live, which was a 5-song live EP. Guess what? That still went gold. Slaughter was one of the biggest rising bands in rock music. So they put together Wild America. Great second album. And they even got Shannon Doherty. Right? Shannon Doherty from Beverly Hills 90210 was kind of the model of choice in the video Real Love. And most of you guys obviously know, Up All Night, Sleep All Day, you know, Fly to the Angels, all that stuff was, you know, it was good stuff. Well, all of a sudden, despite the fact that Slaughter had basically kind of bought out the Vinnie Vincent thing and made the deal with Chrysalis Records, and EMI gets involved, and the next thing you know, it's craziness. And so, Wild America was tour. The Wildlife still went gold with basically no production. Like, it came out of the gate really strong because Slaughter had built such a big following. But Real Love, number two on your list. But number one, I don't know that anybody that got screwed more than these guys did. You talk about an established band. Of course, they had a double platinum album as a debut with Dirty, Rotten, Stilty, Thinking, Drenched. And then they came back and followed it up with Cherry Pie. Also double platinum. They were headlining and selling out arenas from coast to coast. And then when Dog Eat Dog came out, the record company decided, yeah, I don't know. I don't think we want to do this anymore. And so they de-emphasized them. And of course, you know, the great track, you know, Machine Gun came out, but it was only played at night. The album never gained any traction. And then again, as Jenny Lane told me years ago, the song that he most wanted to be remembered for was a track called Bitter Pill. And they had a great video for it, but it cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to produce. And watching the video, I don't know how. But that was basically it. That was basically the end of Warrant. And I remember talking to Jenny Lane about it, and he was the guy that just had struggled to adjust to the fact that we're no longer playing arenas, we're back playing clubs again. Even though we're packing them out, it's just not the same. And ultimately, I think the depression of all of that proved to be too much for him to handle. And very grateful to have met him. And those of you that know me know that I have Down Boys tattooed on my knuckles just so I can tell that story. But so there you go, Pete, another conspiracy. And what's also interesting, it may not shock you. Did you know that TRL Live was completely fake? Like, we used to have Dial MTV that was real. And then we had Total Request Live with Carson Daly. Remember that? The whole thing was fake. Every bit of it was fake. It was the MTV producers and the record companies and their relationship that basically pushed those artists on TRL Live. And so because of the fact you had a captive audience of teenagers watching TRL Live to see, hey, if they're everybody got together and we all voted for our favorite artist to see if they're number one, the votes weren't even properly tabulated. They would throw out thousands and thousands and thousands of votes to march in lockstep with the record companies. So again, there's all this illusion of choice. And I think what one of the things that we have been able to do through the gift of Al Gore's internet is a lot of us have been able to kind of connect and compare notes. And the next thing you know, you can kind of do your own research and find out as these people have aged and move out of the record industry, they've got a lot of confessions to make. And so again, a lot of people felt like, hey, well, this is just the changing of the generations, just the changing of the decades. And it wasn't. Every bit of it was based on corporate greed. And so, no, you're going to listen to what we want you to listen to. We're going to push this. And if you're not listening to this music, then you're just not cool. And then you go to the record store, next thing you know, you're bombarded with all of this, you know, boy band paraphernalia. There's T-shirts, there's posters and everything else. Everybody's got to love this stuff. Well, why'd they do it? You know, it's just because of the fact that you had all these, what were, you know, now we kind of call influencers. They were corporate people that basically were part of a loophole. You know, there used to be, the record companies used to pay DJs directly to play records. Payola is what they called it. They outlawed that, so they found these middlemen that they could put in place, basically funnel money to ensure that certain stuff was played. And so I share all that because I love musicians and I love music, and I think music lovers need to know how we have been manipulated at times. So there we go, Pete. I hope I did you some justice. You asked for a new conspiracy. I gave you two, right? So there you go. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti, my friend, on X at Dogmatic67. That's DawgMatic67. And you can find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And, of course, follow me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Man, we love Campus Bookmart. Well, we do. And one of the main reasons we do is we can get what we want, right? We can get what we want. What do we want? More Mississippi State merch. It's a brand new academic and athletic gear. You need to get some new Bulldog gear for this upcoming football, basketball, and baseball season. And maybe you wait for the new fashions to come out for baseball just before Valentine's Day. But, man, football season's 2 weeks away. Men's basketball, women's basketball, not too far behind. We've got some basketball news for you here in this next segment. But the reality of it is when there's a Bulldog fan on your gift-buying list, you don't have to go get a Jelly to Month Club gift certificate. Right, you don't have to go get like a subscription to Guns and Ammo, anything like that. You can just simplify things and just buy them Mississippi State apparel. You can buy them decorative items for the home, things to detail out the fan cave. Nothing makes us happier than more Mississippi State merch. And the best selection of Bulldog merchandise can be found at Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see their beautiful and smiling faces the next time that you're in town. If you can't make it to town, or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, you can visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. Use promo code BSR. That stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. Been a good day over at jeanspage.com as we've broken multiple major Mississippi State stories today. You can find out first, or you can read somebody else aggregating our news. So the first item of interest, I'll try to give you some context on this. Kostas Kostadinov, I know I spelled it wrong, Kostas Kostadinov. Has left the Mississippi State men's basketball program. And that is news to us, but it is not a new development. What we understand is that Kostas went home for the break and then never returned. And went home to Bulgaria, going to resume his professional basketball career. I am told that he got here and just felt like, you know what, I don't know that I want to go to college. And decided to go back. And so you find that out now, because you guys know we've had some transfers in recent years that have rode the scholarship rolls, and we didn't get an opportunity to replace them. Well, we have now. We have, because Kamani Hamilton is coming back to Mississippi State. How about that? And I suspect that Kamani will probably have a better opportunity to contribute than Kostas did. That's just my personal feelings. You may see it differently, but Kamani Hamilton, outstanding, outstanding player out of Jackson, Mississippi, 6'8", 225-pound forward, and spent last year with UNLV, played in 35 games, 29 minutes a game, pitched in 12.8 points, and you know, he's a guy that has kind of been around a little bit. Started his career at Mississippi State, transferred to High Point for 2 years, didn't play a lot as a freshman with Mississippi State. It's appeared in 12 games, averaged under 3 points a game. Goes to High Point, really kind of finds himself, has a career high 14.9 points in the 23-24 season, then 13 and a third, and then spends, you know, the year at UNLV, right at 13 points a game. And so, again, you're getting a guy with a career average of 12.5, so he's a double-digit scorer. On top of that, he is a guy, too, that pulls down about, you know, 5 to 6 boards a game. So a guy that we think can really help us, and obviously a young man, too, that we're very familiar with. You got to love that. And so we learned last night that there had been a bit of a roster shakeup. There was a departure, kind of an unexpected departure. I think that's how Chris Jans labeled it. This morning, we get the scoop on Kostas, and then shortly thereafter, as we're getting that confirmed, the name that was shared with us that was probably going to be the replacement was Kamani Hamilton. And so now here we are. And, of course, that's one of the things in our industry, right? Sometimes we have to break what's perceived as bad news, but all news is good news as long as it's true and accurate news. So this morning, you get the Kostas news on the heels of DeMario Nash, right? And so I even shared in our group text with the work tech, I said, man, we're just full of good news today. Mario leaves, quits the team. Kostas quits men's basketball, goes home to Bulgaria, and then we get an adverse ruling on the situation affecting Jerron Manning and Malik Sela. It's like, dude, it's going to be a horrible Maroon Friday. And then in the afternoon hours, we're able to confirm that Kamani Hamilton has signed with Mississippi State. And so it ends well, right? And so now we kind of move forward. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. And, you know, I kind of said this on the show. I didn't know how much of a contribution Kostas would make. I mean, you like the size, but he isn't the guy that's actually lit up the box score in recent years. I think this is a great development for State just because of the fact, I think, Yeah, we're losing a guy with a little bit better size, but we're going to replace him with somebody, number one, that knows us. We know him. We know his family exceptionally well, as you guys are well aware. But a guy that's been a double-digit scorer in the Division I level, to me, that makes a lot of sense. And so I share that just because of the fact that, things are kind of getting done. You know, things are getting done. And so you don't have to sit here and worry about, hey, what's the men's basketball roster look like? I see this as a net change positive for Mississippi State. I think it is an outstanding development because I just don't think Costas was going to be able to handle it in the Southeastern Conference. That's my personal opinion. You may see it differently, but this is a big year for Chris Jans and for Mississippi State men's basketball. We need to put a productive team on the floor, and now you've got a guy that's got plenty of experience that can come in here. And I don't know if he's a difference maker, but I think he will be a strong contributor for this team. And again, I like his ability to put the ball in the basket a lot more than Costas. So here we are. So again, I see it as a positive, and I hope that you guys do as well. It makes me a little more optimistic about men's basketball season, to be quite honest with you. I don't know what we're going to have. I know we got Josh Hubbard, and I think that's one of the things, too, that frustrates a lot of us, too, is you would think when you have a generational player like Josh Hubbard, it should be easier, right, to put more pieces around him. We're obviously very invested in a men's basketball roster. I think bringing Kamani Hamilton in is kind of a means to that end. We need some players that can play in the post, as you guys are well aware. But nevertheless, that's the developments from the day. Tomorrow, Northwest Rankin wide receiver, Deshaun Dillon, is set to announce his decision at noon on Saturday. That'll be streamed on the CBS 247 sports platforms on both the football and basketball side. And you'd say, well, Steve, why? Well, he plans to play both sports. The latest information that we have is that we expect him to announce for Georgia Tech. I understand that the Yellow Jackets are willing to give him a spot on the basketball and the football side. Mississippi State and Ole Miss were not willing to do that. It was a football-only situation here. And many of you would say, but Steve, why did we not do it on the basketball side? Well, number one, we're not going to tell Chris Jans how to run his roster. But also, too, as kind of discussed before, too, you're going to have to miss spring training for football, and you're going to miss preseason practice for basketball playing football. I mean, it's just impossible to do both simultaneously. They're going to try to give it a go. I suspect – listen, I wish Deshaun well. I think he's a great young man. I suspect at some point he will either give up one or the other or end up in a transfer portal. I think it's very difficult to do both at the Power Four level. And, again, he is a great young man. I have really enjoyed having a chance to cover him for the last part of 3 years, and much more so this year. Rian Young, of course, it was with us for a while. You did a great job kind of keeping us abreast of what was going on with Deshaun. But does not appear that he's going to be a Bulldog. And so everything else, we're just kind of locking in, man. We're just kind of locking in and getting ready to go play a football game against Louisiana Monroe. And then we'll go prove ourselves a little bit and see if we can't, improve our standing with some recruits that maybe would be a big deal later. I don't think Deshaun's a guy that you really go chase. And here's what I mean by that. This is in no way disrespectful to him. If I'm Jeff Lebby and the Mississippi State coaching staff, I just don't want a two-sport athlete. And that's not a reflection on Deshaun. It's just I need a guy that is passionate about football. I need a young man that is absolutely in love with the sport of football. From the outset of our coverage of Deshaun, this recruiting cycle, all the chatter has been, I don't know how much he loves football. He loves basketball. He likes playing football, but he loves basketball. And so if that's the reality of the situation, and it appears that it is, then he needs to go play basketball. I think he would be a great college wide receiver if he would fully commit to doing so. But if you get him here and his dream is to play basketball and then all of a sudden he starts missing being on the court, well, then he may just leave your program anyway and enter the portal. So it's better to kind of find that stuff out on the front side before it becomes an issue later. I mean, it's just there's just no point in pursuing that if we can't meet the expectations this young man has for his athletic career. Then we're smart to tell him the truth. There are a lot of people out there just tell recruits what they want to hear, and then they get here, and you're like, hey, you know. I remember years ago, long discussion we had about this. You guys remember Russell Shepard? Remember him? And there were some people in our industry that had him ranked as a top five quarterback in the country. I went and had the opportunity to see him practice. I think it was the Under Armour Bowl, I think. I couldn't remember. Maybe in U.S. Army. I can't remember which one it was. And, guys, he could not throw the football. Absolutely could not throw the football. I mean, dude, guys, his misses were huge. Now, he was an explosive athlete. Absolutely explosive athlete. And if you look at his highlights, 90% of them were running plays. Well, he signs with LSU. Same year Chris Garrett does. Now, that's the Tyler Russell, Clayton Moore year, right? In the year we had three SEC caliber quarterbacks. And so everybody's like, well, hey, we've got Russell Shepard committed. Why would we take Chris Garrett, right? Of course, Chris flipped from us to LSU. Still wish he would have stuck with us, but Tyler worked out pretty well, right? But so Chris gets there. So Russell Shepard, when he gets to LSU, of course, there was no transfer portal back then. Russell Shepard got one day working out with the quarterbacks. One day. Day two of practice, they moved him to receiver. Yeah. So that's one of the things I think that the transfer portal has done is kind of cleaned up some of these false promises in when it comes to recruiting. You know, used to, that's what everybody used to do and say. They would just tell everybody, hey, this is where we are and what you're doing. You know, and what happened for Russell Shepard was kind of interesting, too. He kind of figured it out, right? He goes to LSU, wants to be a quarterback, ends up not being a quarterback. Guys, Russell Shepard, it was an Under Armour game. I'll look it up. Yeah, 2009 Under Armour game. And so, you know, class of 2009, from that 2008 group, I guess. But anyway, so yeah, there were people talking about, you know, he could be a Heisman winner. Guys, Russell Shepard finally embraced being a wide receiver. Signed a free agent deal with the Eagles, got let go. And then he got picked up by the Buccaneers. Spent some time with the Panthers and with the Giants. And with the Giants, he had a one-year deal for, you know, worth up to almost $2 million, including the incentives. And then he retired back around during COVID. But because he had 60 NFL catches, 847 yards. And so, yeah, he was a dominant athlete, but he was never going to be an SEC quarterback. Right? To be honest with you, he's kind of a rich man's Mike Wright, if that makes sense. And it's just, it's so interesting to kind of go back and look at these things and see how it all worked out. But guys, he ended up hanging around for, you know, 7 years in the league once he embraced what he really was. And I think at some point, Deshaun Dillon is going to have a similar decision to make. And it takes some of these young people time to figure all this stuff out, right? It's like, you know, right now everybody's in your ear telling you what they think you should do. And then you get away from home and you kind of get away from, you know, your circle of influence. And you have a chance to kind of sit down and figure out what's best for you. And I suspect that'll be the case for Deshaun. But I honestly think that he is an SEC football player and a G5 basketball player. And what I mean by, I know he's the Gatorade Player of the Year for the state of Mississippi. I think his chances of going pro, I mean legitimately pro, like NBA or remote, I do think if he really committed himself to being a receiver, I think he has pro potential. I mean, the guy has incredible ability to elevate. He could be quite the red zone weapon, and he's a guy that can get out and run pretty well too. But that's where that sits. And I told you by the time we got here today, we'd have a pretty good handle on things we do. So it will be a shock if he picks Mississippi State. I have never gone into any of these and been surprised that we got a player. Just you know, I work hard to give you guys information. So people will probably check in and watch that thing, but I have already shared Deshaun's number with our Georgia Tech counterparts to kind of help assist them to kind of get a story ready. And that's where we see it as we sit here today. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, when you bring a large group to town, and you should. We've done it. We had a great time. And it's so nice to have everybody under one roof for a while. And the older I get, the more that means to me. My kids are scattered all over the country. And so when we get everybody to come home, you know, we've kind of outgrown the house as a family, even though it's just me and the bride now here in this big house out in the country. Even with these extra rooms, you need a little more room to operate. And we were able to find that at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Get my mom, my stepdad there, get the grandkids there. Everybody has a chance to just kind of be together. It's a special moment, too, to see my mom have a chance to be with her great-grandchildren, right? It's true. So why don't you give yourself and your family the same gift? Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests. That's the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, back porch area, which is fabulous, the fire pit area, six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths, plenty of parking, 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So incredibly conveniently located to everything. You know, nothing's ever too far in Starkville. But being able to stay right there off Highway 182 out past the Highlands just kind of makes it so much easier, right? You're on kind of the sleepy part of town, but you're close enough to everything that you can get there quickly and get back and just kind of enjoy the people you love the most. When you do that Google search, you're going to have some booking options pop up too. It's going to be Airbnb, Vrbo, but if you want to save some bucks, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. That gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. Be sure and check them out today, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Had a feature this morning, too, over at jeanspage.com, and it was a VIP piece. We had a chance to, Dave Murray went to an event last night, and Chris Jan spoke, and Sam Purcell spoke, and you know, we had a VIP piece with Purcell, or we'll have that tomorrow. We had Jans on Friday and O'Connor on Friday, and some of the comments from Brian O'Connor really fired me up. Like, one of the things that, you know, I'm going to be nice in how I say this, right? Brian O'Connor kind of sees the world the way I do. And there are a lot of people in my generation and even younger than me that kind of see it the way I do. Like, my expectations are this. I think Mississippi State can do great things. I don't think we can just do good things. I think we can do great things. And certainly on the baseball side, with the amount of funding that we have put together and our fan support and things of that nature, all of that is so incredibly important. But I love the fact that Brian O'Connor does not shy away from the whole thing about going to Omaha and winning the national championship. You know, that, I believe, should always be our goal. Our goal shouldn't be, we just want to make it to Omaha so we can change an outfield wall graphic. I want another national championship. And I know you do too. And we've got a coach that kind of embraces that same mentality. There's a quote that I wanted to share with you that he shared in Dave's article, you know, that I think will probably fire you up a little bit. It's one of those things too that that needs to be said. One thing he says is like, hey, we did bring postseason baseball back to Dirty Noble Field. Yes, first time we've hosted since winning a national championship. But I think we all agree that's not enough. And Brian says this, but we also accomplished something never before, and that was getting swept in two SEC series on back-to-back weekends. That was tough. Right? So it's like, yeah, we did something great, but it could have been, should have been better. And I love this quote here. Did it end the way we wanted it to? Gosh, no, it didn't. We fell short of having the opportunity to go to Omaha, but the next time that opportunity presents itself, we'll kick that door down and have a true opportunity to compete for a national championship, end of quote. That's what I want every coach on this campus to believe and feel. I don't want, you've heard me say it before, I don't want anybody from the coaching staff to the cleaning staff to think that this is just a stepping stone job. Because as you guys know, we have a very fertile recruiting footprint. We have plenty of opportunities to keep the best athletes at home, and then we can recruit our border states and others. And in baseball, of course, we can recruit nationally. But it all starts with a mindset. And I remember, and I love Chris Simonis. I do. I consider Chris a friend. And he told me whenever I'm done doing all this stuff, I can come work for him and be his baseball SID. You know, I have a great relationship with Chris. But what's interesting, you know, baseball is a lot of superstitions in baseball. And one of the first times that I sat down and interviewed Lem, I said, we're going to win an AFL championship while you're here. And he kind of squirmed a little bit, you know. And he said, hey, you know, I don't want to tempt fate. You know, I don't want to upset the baseball gods. And I understand that aspect of it too. But we talk about manifesting things. Like, I don't think you can just say things out to the universe and the universe gives them back, right? You got to go work for them, right? And so when I tell my guys on my team, I say, hey, guys, here's what we're going to do. A lot of times it's me making a commitment to myself that, hey, these are the expectations I have for our organization. And once I articulate those to the people that are in my employ, I have made a commitment to them. This is what we're going to do. That's one of the things about Brian O'Connor that I've always found really engaging. When I sat down and had a similar conversation with Brian, and I'm not in any way throwing shade at Chris Simonis. I would never do that. I will be eternally grateful to him for our friendship and, of course, most importantly, leading us to the national championship, right? And it still just feels so surreal that we finally have one. We should have 8 or 9 or 10 or 12, whatever else she's got, plus 10. But that's where we are. But when I asked O'Connor that, I said, Coach, you know, you got a roster that a lot of people are eager to get back to Omaha. People are ready for another NAFL championship. You know, how do you handle those expectations? He goes, man, I run to them. I run to them. And that's the thing that I can say now after knowing Brian O'Connor for 14 months and having had a chance to visit with him just the other day. Just, you know, me and him and Dave Murray walks up and we talk. And the thing that I will say about Brian O'Connor, he sees achievement the same way I do. And that's one of the things that I love about him. Like, it's one thing to know a coach, but over the course of a year or so's time, and you spend a lot of time on the road, you kind of get to know people as people. Brian O'Connor is a winner. And as we talk about all the time in recruiting, people want to associate with winning programs. Well, how you have winning programs is you have to have winning coaches. And winning coaches have a winning mindset. And one of the things that I love about Oak is that he holds people accountable. You guys have seen it. You have guys go out there, make a mistake in a game, he'll pull them, right? And he'll go love them in the media. Well, you know, he's kind of doing this. You know, but you know as well as I do, when you let people do things the wrong way, when you let people operate outside of your foundational standards, you're basically saying the standards don't matter. The rules have to apply to everybody. You know, we had a situation, you know, where we had a guy that didn't run out of pop-up. And he got pulled in front of everybody. Now, some people would say, well, you know, I would wait and do that, you know, later, you know. No, you handle it now because it's not just that player that you're sending a message to. You're sending a message to the entire team that the rules and standards of this program apply to everybody. Everybody. And that's what winners do. Guys that want to win want to be coached. Guys that want to win want to be held accountable. And that's what you got in Brian O'Connor. And so when he comes out here and says, hey, we're going to go kick that door down, he's not just speaking to me and you. He's not just speaking to his players. He's speaking to himself. He's making a commitment to Brian O'Connor. We're going to Omaha, and we're going to go up there and compete for a national championship. And I can tell you, in the time that I have spent with Brian O'Connor on and away from the baseball field, I am 100% convinced that we may have the best baseball coach in the country. The one thing I would say, he is absolutely obsessed with it. Absolutely. Like, everything that he does is about the betterment of Mississippi State baseball. Everything. And everything behind that, outside of his family, is secondary. It's what can I do today to advance Mississippi State baseball towards a national title? Everything. And I tell him all the time, I said, yeah, nobody works harder than college baseball coaches. And if you guys look at the calendar, you'll know that I'm correct, right? And I'm going to run it for you real quick, right? So we had our first team meeting back on Monday, right? First workout was on Wednesday. So we're already into fall ball pre-workouts. Well, then pretty soon we'll be in actual fall ball, and we'll have, four scrimmages against other teams. As you guys, two of those have already been announced. We'll have two more. Then we'll finish up fall ball. We'll go right back into – we'll have a little bit of rest, but then, the holiday break will be here. And we come right back and we go into spring. From the time that we get back for the spring semester, it's going to be spring training to get ready for the season that begins on Valentine's Day weekend. And then we will play up into June. Well, the NCAA transfer portal also opens in June. As soon as we got back from Athens, Georgia, we're already hosting prospects for the portal. So we're going to do all of that stuff. We're going to host prospects. We're going to do in-home visits with high school guys that have already signed with us that are facing the draft. And then we're going to help those guys kind of navigate through the draft process. And then next thing you know, we're on the plane going out to the Cape Cod League, just to see if there's anything left. And then maybe we get 10 days or so off before everybody comes back to campus to start again. So if you don't have a coach that embraces the grind of the major college baseball schedule, you're going to have a problem. And you've got a fan base here that's so incredibly ready to win another title. And just like me, once we win the second one, we're going to start the quest for the third. Right? We got a lot of ground to make up, right? But we got to start stacking some. And, of course, LSU's back to being LSU, But I still believe that we are approaching an era of Mississippi State baseball that we probably never seen. And, again, it all starts with the coach. And we've had some great coaches that have come through in our history. There's no question about it. But one of the things that and I had a conversation in the middle of recording this show with somebody else. One of the things that has, I feel, across the board at Mississippi State, and we have some people within the administration that feel the same way you and I do, we can never accept the status quo. Absolutely, absolutely not. We can never just say, this is what we can't do. We can never just throw our hands up and say, to hell with it. Got to find a way. And I wrote an article just about that the other day about, one of the things that we've talked about extensively is how we have underutilized the hump. It shouldn't just be available for basketball. Many of you gathered with us, what was it, 88, 89, to Whitesnake and White Lion at a concert. And of course, they build the Bancorp South. I guess it's the Huntington Bank Center now in Tupelo. And so that became a little more popular concert destination. But with all these college kids here, there's no reason we shouldn't have more concerts. So what does Zach Selman do? We go out, we sign a deal with Peachtree Management. And then that group, obviously, Hardy would come if we just said, hey, Michael, can you come? He'd show up, right? But you got a Hardy concert, and then you got the comedy show coming up with Nate Bargatze. Then you got the Diamond Dog Classic again for the second straight year, and that's all three major events outside of the normal football basketball schedule that are going to be fundraisers for Mississippi State. And so there, again, we talk about mindset. It's like, hey, we got a rev share bill that's $20.5 million growing to $21.6. We've got to find a way to fund all this stuff. And we can't just keep asking people for money. Of course, we love donations, but let's be honest, you got a better chance of raising money if you give people an experience. Like if I called each of you and said, hey, would you give me $100 for NIL? Well, you might do it the first time, but I called back a second time. You're like, hey, yeah, Steve, I just gave you $100, you know. But what if I gave you the chance to bring your family to see Hardy? So you're going to give me the same $100, but in exchange, you're going to get a memorable experience with your family. And then, hey, can I get you to come back next month for the Nate Bargatze show? Well, all of a sudden, that's another $100. Well, can I get you back for the Diamond Dog Classic? Well, yeah, I want to go see those guys. Jake Mangum's going to be there, right? There's another $100. And so you're a little more likely to spend that money to help Mississippi State if you know you're getting something in return. That's why it's so important to come out and support these events, because not only are you getting the benefit of that experience, you're also helping Mississippi State be more competitive on the courts and fields of play. And so even if you can't come, and you just want to help out, buy a ticket and maybe give it to somebody else. I guarantee you, many of you know a young couple that could benefit from a night out, right? And maybe it's somebody that you know and love and say, hey, I'd love for you guys to be able to go to the Hardy show on me, right? I'm going to buy your tickets. You know, maybe you know a single mom or dad out there that maybe is a little bit financially challenged too, that would love to be able to bring their kid to the Diamond Dog Classic. You know, how about you buy those tickets and gift them to them? Because they're not going to ask you to do it, and nor should they. But why not do something that helps Mississippi State and then in turn make somebody else's life a little more enjoyable? Those are the things that I think of. We have to look for opportunities. Like in my industry, like I tell my guys, we have to look for content opportunities. In my life, I look for random acts of kindness opportunities. Nothing makes me feel better than to give. That's the honest to goodness truth. And like if Dana never got me anything for Christmas, I'd find a way to be okay with that. But I have to get her stuff for Christmas. Not because she expects it, because the joy of giving is so incredibly important to me. And I've learned that the hard way, right? I don't have this sense of self-entitlement when it comes to possessions. There may be some things within my work life I feel a sense of self-entitlement to. I'm like, my goodness, I'm the guy going out covering all these baseball games, you know. When I make a phone call to ask a question, I feel entitled to an answer, right? That's a little different, though. But when I think about these events that are coming up, even if you can't come, because like the Nate show is on a Thursday night, maybe you can't come, but I guarantee you, maybe you know some students that would like to go. Maybe you know a local that would. It's like, I want to give you guys something. And the thing that I've learned about that is, man, when I'm on the other end of that, and there have been times in my life that I cherish, but, man, it was so tough. There have been times, man, when, you know, you go to the ATM the day before payday and try to get some money out to go to lunch and you just hold your breath, right? I've been there. I've been there. And I remember Dan and I were so excited when this years ago, we were just dating back then. I wanted to go see my dad. And we just didn't have any money. And I think we had about $25 to our name. And I just wanted to go see my dad. I hadn't seen my dad in a while. And of course, back then, gas was, you know, about 90 cents a gallon. And she goes, well, let's go. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Let's just go. Let's go see your dad. And so we go up there, we spend our $25, and I think we get back to town. I think we had $5 left. And we were stopping at the Junior Food Mart on 49. And I said, hey, we got $5 left. Do you want to get a drink? You know, you want to get a snack? Sure. As I'm walking into the store, there's a $20 bill in the parking lot. Nobody else is around, right? And it's like, I just felt like this is the universe saying, you know what, Steve, we're going to pay for that trip to go see your dad, right? But there have been other opportunities in my life when people knew that I was struggling and maybe I wasn't so vocal about it. And somebody said, hey, man, I'd love to be able to take you guys to dinner. or I'd love to be able to pay for your dinner. I remember one time when Ani was home from college and we were eating at Harvey's. And it was emotional for me because, like, he had been home, like, for all the holiday break, and he was getting ready to go back. And I took him to eat a steak at Harvey's. And I get ready to pay, and somebody's paid our bill. And they point out the person that paid it, and I went over to thank him. He goes, well, look, you guys were having a very serious dad and son conversation, and I just wanted to contribute to that, right? That stuff means so much to me, right? I had the money to pay for it, but the fact that somebody was kind enough to do it for me, even all these years later, you can tell what it means to me. So let me encourage you, even if you can't attend these events, there's somebody out there that would benefit from you buying a ticket and then gifting it to them. And so, again, we're helping Mississippi State. And I mean really helping Mississippi State. Not the pseudo help. A lot of people out there claim they're helping Mississippi State. They're helping themselves. This is an opportunity for you to truly help Mississippi State and at the same time maybe help somebody that you love and somebody that would really enjoy the opportunity to go do something that they can't afford. I think that is a wonderful thing. And so I'm going to encourage you to do that. If you haven't done so, come check us out over at jeanspage.com. 60% off the annual subscription price for the month of August as we prepare for kicking off football season. We had an issue with the dutynoblebook.com website earlier today. It's being repaired, so it should be good to go. Just check back if you need to order books. Had somebody hit me up on Twitter. I posted a link. Unbeknownst to me, let the publisher know. They're getting it all corrected. That's the internet, man. People are always crazy, but... yeah, you can find it at great bookstores around the state of Mississippi, and if they're out, just tell them you want to get it, and then get it for you, too. Come float with us at True Rest Floats by Stargo. I wanted to go float today. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it in time for us to go eat dinner. But dial 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my beautiful wife, Dana, and you can tell her how great I am. She could always use to hear that. You know, I don't need the brownie points. I'm just kidding around. And, of course, you know, there's just so much in life that kind of, you know, gives you a trigger. And floating for me has been a great thing just to let my mind rest. It helps me physically, but it helps me more mentally and emotionally and even spiritually than anything else, right? Just being able to just kind of be alone, let my mind rest, and just be at peace for a while. If you've got chronic pain or perhaps depression, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others, right? And there's no guarantees in life, but you know what? Floating has been one of the best things I have ever done for my own personal anxiety and stress. I would encourage you to do the same. And again, like those other things too, if you know somebody else that could benefit, maybe buy them a gift card. And you can do that. You can buy them a package or a gift card right over the phone, right? Just call Dana at 662-268-7601. Let's get out of here, man. I hope you guys have a great weekend. One more weekend closer to college football. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.